Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the east. I can see Two Good Arm, Newfoundland. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast is produced in partnership with ProfitGuide.com. Today, terrific. It's so terrific. Bruce Hunter, our perennial guest, is back. Bruce is the president of Lighthouse 360, Lighthouse360.com. Bruce, welcome back to the Profit Business Cast.
As always, a pleasure to be here.
And annually, I like to wrap up the year with you. I was going to say wipe up, but no, this is a wrap-up year. And you said, well, why don't we take a look at business regrets? And you had some ideas about business regrets. Why regrets, Bruce, to wind out a year?
Well, I think that one of the things when I'm talking to business owners, there are two ways you can cut this. This is what are the greatest pieces of learning you've had? The corollary is what are the greatest regrets? Interestingly, they kind of meld together. In retrospective, I think it's great to learn from people who have already been down the road that we're about to travel.
And, you know, when you say that, it's great to learn from people that have been down the road. Your first regret has to do with knowing people or not knowing people.
Well, interestingly, the first thing that comes out of people's mouths is probably the thing that I didn't appreciate most when I started out was how important the people quotient was. As a matter of fact, just a couple of days ago, I sat with a very successful CEO of a mid-sized business, and I asked him a very simple question, which basically was this: what's the most important thing you've learned over the past 25 years of building and running your company? His answer really didn't surprise me, but he put it in a way I hadn't heard it before. So he said, real estate people, they talk about the most important things being location, location, location. And you know what? I think it's all about people, people, people. You get the right people in the right place at the right time, and you're going to be wildly successful. The last qualifier, I think, is also very critical. The needs of a business changes as it moves from infancy to maturity. The younger company, everybody needs to be hands on deck. They wear many hats, and it's all about execution. It's not about planning. And as the company progresses, though, it becomes more complex. It needs a different hand on the tiller, if you will. As a matter of fact, for earlier stage companies, every once in a while, one of the few laughs I get is when talking to small business people, I said the worst thing you could do at the very start of your business development is hire an MBA. They've just got different skills.
So speaking of hiring, Steve Jobs is famous for saying always hire and work with the A team. But that's not always possible. For lots of our listeners across the country in smaller, medium-sized businesses, the A team players either aren't always available to you, you can't afford them, or they're working for a competitor. How do we address not always having the A-team players available to us?
It's interesting because when I talk to my folks that work with me, I talk about having the dream team. If you think about the analogy of the Jays, I mean, you just can't go out and hire the A-team because it'll bankrupt you. It's also a fact that it has to be a team. And just putting together the individual A players doesn't necessarily mean that collectively they're going to deliver. But I will say that one thing that continually amazes me is how long business owners will put up with having the wrong person in the wrong seat or even within the company. If you think about the analogy, it's a poor analogy, but going back to the Vietnam War, the Viet Cong were facing a vastly superior American force. And what they did was they didn't try to kill people, they tried to maim them. So they took more resources to take care of those people and they took them off the battlefield. You know, it's the same with a poor employee. They take an inordinate amount of the resources from the company and actually weakens the company. You're much better to actually bite the bullet, deal with it, as long as you're able to replace it with a better player.
So let's move on to regret number two, which has to do with properly listening and hearing what people are saying to you.
I think that this reflects, I'm speaking with people who've had 25 years experience. Listening always helps. But in certain cases, I would argue that sometimes listening hurts, particularly in the very early stages of an organizational growth when you're trying to figure out which way to go and which direction. You can become overwhelmed by everybody has an opinion and who's to say they're right. Some at the very early stages of an organization listen for a time, but you've got to be steadfast and pursue your focus, if you will, which is the next regret. You need to stay on course.
Are you saying we should be following our gut intuition far more in the early stages?
No, I'm saying don't listen to the number of folks that are going to give you 16 different directions, because you can't chase them all. It'll just confuse you. So you need to pick who you are going to listen to and make sure that once you make a decision, certainly you need to pivot and you need to change if the market feedback suggests it, but you got to steady as she goes initially. Now, going back to I wish I'd listen more, what happens though, as the organization grows, the leadership needs to take on a less of I do it to more of you do it. So their job is basically providing the vision and the resources for the company to do the work. So you need to step back and lead from behind the larger organization.
You know, let me ask you a question. Lots of startups and lots of entrepreneurs, whatever stage of their business they're in, always have people available to tell them what to do, to advise, to sit on an advisory board. Do you have a couple of tips you could share how you choose appropriate advisors?
Frankly, a lot of people will choose their advisors because they have industry experience. I would choose an advisor. The most important thing that I would look for is somebody with a breadth of leadership and management experience rather than choose industry-specific experience. Certainly, those technical skills are going to be interesting and valuable, but I'd much rather go with an advisor who has seen a wide range of businesses and experiences.
Finally, Bruce, let's talk about focus. As you know, and as our listeners know, one of my favorite advertising campaigns is 2 P's and an F, passion, perseverance, and focus. And your third regret is, I wish I'd had more focus. Let's talk about it.
Well, it gets back to what we were speaking of a little bit earlier, is that all of us probably, when we look at our own lives, be a little mad at ourselves because we probably chase what looks like critical but is not. It's the fact that we do busy work rather than focus on what's truly important. So the biggest challenge you have at the initial stages is actually saying no to a lot of things because you don't have the resources and the time that's needed to run down the various number of paths simultaneously. As a matter of fact, one of my business owners right now, that is her biggest challenge of saying, which path should I pick, but how do I actually leave some opportunities on the table that I think could be really exciting? And that's hurtful, but it has to be done.
You know, Bruce, you and I, when we've talked about businesses and focus and things, you also made a comment that people need to be somewhat fearless when they go after an entrepreneurial desire or venture. Let's talk about fearless because we have a little bit of time, and that's a good one for you to address.
Fearless, usually, I would think, if we look at people who actually go and do startups, they've got to be following a passion. In that passion, I think you can become fearless because it's doing something you fundamentally and viscerally believe in. The fearless aspect of corporate life is something that, frankly, needs to be encouraged as the organization grows. Because what tends to happen at the end of an organization's life is people are more focused on the internal working and the politics than they are the market and the customers. So being that individual who is fearless in calling out the foibles, if you will, of the organization and the fact that it is turning inwards and becomes the voice of the customer in the market, I think that that value can't be underscored strongly enough.
Bruce, your website, lighthouse360.com, tell us about the free assessment I'm looking at there and your book, The Success Cage.
Well, I come from to have had experience with both sides, a large corporate experience as an executive, and also now for the last 14, 15 years, I've been working with entrepreneurs. And I have noticed that at various stages, there are stages to an organization's life, and each stage requires a different set of activities and leadership skills. And that's the questionnaire that I actually have on my website. And it's a very simple 25 questionnaire that allows you to place you and your organization on one of 5 stages, and it also allows you to read, once you've done that scoring, to read a 1-page prose explanation of where you are and where you need to be focusing in on to get to that next level.
And how about that book, The Success Cage?
The Success Cage actually was written in order to help the business owner move and orchestrate the movement of their companies from each of the individual stages. So it gets right down to the granular self-assessment, and there's a broader self-assessment of both the individual, the types of leadership you need. It also tells you organizationally what you need at various stages in order to progress. It's a little, if you will, a roadmap for you and your business.
Well, it's well worth checking out lighthouse360.com. Take the free assessment. Take it now. You'll be surprised at what you learn. It's a great way to end the year. Bruce Hunter, President, Lighthouse 360. Thanks again, Bruce, for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Well, thank you, Robert, and happy holidays.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to know how we might spend our holidays, check us out at benegold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Peg, and good night to Good Arm Newfoundland.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold, LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.